Everyone, thanks for tuning in. It's Stephanie with Women Who Secure, and I have a special guest, Annie. She is a cybersecurity specialist. She's also featured in The Rise of the Cyberwoman, Volume 1, and that is really how I got to connect with her. So I'm really happy that she's here. Annie, thank you, and welcome to Women Who Secure.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to be here today.
Thank you. Just let everyone know, how do we truly pronounce your beautiful name?
Yes, so Annie is really my nickname. My real name is Quratulain. It's an Arabic word. It means, like, the literal meaning is coolness of my eyes, but the way it's used is it's used in the context of, like, the apple of my eye. So my father gave me this name.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and for all the Arab folks, when I have to say it for them, you know, there is a way that you pronounce it, so you have to say it, like, literally from your throat. So it's like Quratul Ain, and unless you say it like that, they can't even recognize that it's an Arab word. They're like, oh yes, that's right, that's what it means, you know. Jamshed, yeah, Jamshed is my dad's name, so it's Quratul Ain Jamshed, but Annie is my nickname because Annie means eyes. So any Quratulain that you come across, the nickname is going to be Annie.
Beautiful. And where is your name originated from? Your parents? What's your background?
So originally, I am from Pakistan. I come from a city, Multan. It's not one of the, you know, known cities of Pakistan, like Islamabad, Karachi, Lahore. Those are the big cities. I come from Multan. Multan is, it has a lot of history to it. It is really, like, one of the oldest cities, I would say, even in the world. Not one of the oldest, but yeah, again, a lot of history. And it's funny when I say this, but it's famous for dust. There is a lot of dust because it's close to the desert.
Yeah.
So if you clean in the morning, by the evening, everything is going to be dusty. So you need to keep everything covered. You can't leave anything out. And it's famous for, apparently, beggars and graveyards.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
I do not like dust. I'm allergic to dust, so no thank you. But I've always wanted to visit Pakistan and, like, visit everywhere. I love that. So let's get started. I love that you're from Pakistan and you have that background. I am aware of your background, but I think people that are listening are not. You know, just essentially tell me about your journey, how you got started. And, you know, just talk about, really, the beginning of your chapter is beautiful and it stood out to me.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So, I mean, I will start off by just mentioning what I'm doing right now, and then I will go back and talk a little bit
ahead
about my journey. So just like you mentioned, I mean, I am a cybersecurity professional. Currently, I'm working for an oil and gas company. It's called Schlumberger. And believe me when I say that, like, this is a dream. Right. What I am living today, this is a dream. I never thought it would happen for me, but I think that, you know, hard work, persistence, and then prayer is really, I think, you know, it's the faith aspect that is heavily involved in this as well. So the country that I'm come from, Pakistan, I wouldn't speak for the, like, entire nation, again, because, you know, everyone's experience is different, even if you come from the same region. But I will speak, you know, specifically for myself and my family. I come from a very conservative background. And so the girls within my family, they are raised with a mindset of, you know, being the homemakers eventually in the long run, right? So your goal is eventually to get married, you know, have kids, be a homemaker, take care of your family, you know, keep your family together. And that really is, like, you know, the mindset that is embedded in you from childhood. And so when I was raising up, you know, I had role models like that. And that is how I was raised. But one thing I think that helped me was that my father, he loved traveling from the beginning. And the first time I visited US was when I was 3 years old. And we went back, and after we went back, my father really wanted to come back and spend some time here, and you know, for better opportunities as well, I guess. So we came back in 2000 after trying a lot of times, and getting the visa is not easy either. For US. So we came back in 2000, and that's when I had the chance to study in the American school system. And I was very I was smart from the academic perspective. I always brought home good grades, and I admit that you know, growing up, I used to challenge from the beginning the roles that were very defined for the men and women. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, I wanted to, for example, you know, like build furniture, right? And if there was ever an electrician that came home, I wanted to, you know, stand next to him and observe. But because I was a girl, I was told, no, you know, you have to go inside. You can't really be, you know, outside with a man. And yeah. So I used to challenge that from the beginning. And so when I came here, and when I studied in a co-education system, so living in Pakistan, I was in an all-girls school. And when I came here and when I studied in a co-education, I realized that, you know, I hear that there were opportunities that were available not just for men but also for women, and they were encouraged, you know, to seek a career and to become something or whatever it is that they wanted, right? And it was within that time when I visited NASA. Mm. And I remember there was a video that was played for the spaceship called Challenge. And within that video, they showed how it was very unfortunate, but there was a lady astronaut, her name was Kalpana Chawla, I believe, yes. And she had an Indian descent. And so I was like, oh my God, you know, she comes from the same region as I
do. You're like gravitated toward that.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like if she can do it, then I can do it too. Now, I didn't look at the aspect of, you know, the rocket, you know, it literally it blew up and it did not survive. But I was just so inspired, you know, by her and just being an astronaut. And I went and I looked into her background and what she had done. And from that point onward, I was like, okay, I'm going to become an astronaut. And I would come home and I would share this with my parents. And I don't think they were as excited as I was at that time. but I was like, no, I can do this. Now, what I didn't know at that time was that you need to be a US citizen to become an astronaut. But of course, I was a kid. Right. I dreamt of it. And then we moved back, to Canada, and then eventually moved back to Pakistan.
How old were you when you moved to Canada?
So I finished my eighth grade from US. Mm-hmm. Half of eighth grade. And then, so we lived 2.5 years here in US and 2.5 years in Canada. Okay. And when I moved back to Pakistan, I was 16 at that time. Wow. So like when I had moved back to Pakistan, I was only 16. And I guess that's when, you know, the reality kind of set in. I started getting, you know, a lot of proposals, and it's not uncommon in our family for the girls to get married when they're young. And so the same thing happened with me too. I guess, you know, for me, the daydreaming kind of ended when I went back to Pakistan, and I got married, and I have a boy too as well, but it didn't work out. And so when it didn't work, I think that's really when the challenge started for me, because I had to adjust to an entirely like new school system. I had to learn to read and write Urdu all over again. I mean, it had been 5 years, and I had to pass the exams in Urdu. And I still remember when I was writing like this first essay, so they would give you like a code, and then you would have to elaborate, you know, what that code meant by a poet. And it was really tough. It took me literally, like, I remember the first time I did it, 2 hours, and like the Urdu writing, it was all wrong. And, you know, I had really supportive, thankfully, professors and my parents from then point onward too. My mother mostly, she supported me in that process. She helped me in raising my son as well. And
how old is your son now?
He's 15.
Oh, wow.
He's a big boy. Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. So yeah, after that, it was, you know, I graduated after having him. And then it was, you know,
you graduated your undergrad college.
From high school, actually.
Oh, okay. So you graduated high school after having him.
After having him from Pakistan. I had only finished 10th grade when we moved back. And then
you've gone through so much. Like,
so that's early just on high in school, my life.
So early on. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
And then I completed my undergraduate too. So by the time I was done with my undergraduate, I got my degree, my son was already 5 years old. So I went through all of that. And I think that really was like that, you know, the tough time for me in my life, especially because I had to go through, you know, the process of like adjusting and trying to figure things out, like even in my personal life and in the professional life. There was a lot of, I mean, from my parents' side, there wasn't a lot of pushback when I decided to pursue electrical engineering. But just culturally, even when I had taken the pre-engineering courses during my high school, I remember the professors telling me, what are you going to do after you get a degree in electrical engineering? There's not a lot of scope for girls in electrical engineering. And truly, when I mean, in our class, there were 10 girls and 56 boys. So it was a male dominant field. But even when I was, you know, thinking about what to take admission in, I was thinking about becoming an astronaut. And yeah. So I looked up the background of astronauts, and I remember that they had engineering background. And the reason for choosing electrical engineering was, in our university, the only two degrees that are recognized from foreign countries is either electrical engineering or civil engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the reason for me choosing electrical engineering.
So ever since you were young, you've always had, sorry, I interrupted. You've always had astronaut as an ideal career because you idolized and you were gravitated towards the same woman of background, seeing it like how successful she was at a male environment and industry. And that's incredible that you've pursued that for that long. And you've always been like, I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that even though I'm not an astronaut today, I'm really happy in the place I am today. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel that we're not always going to get what we want. But if we aim for, you know, if we dream big, you will end up somewhere like in a happy place eventually. Right. After I got the degree, then it was, I realized that my son, even though, you know, I had the support, he was not speaking at the age of five, obviously, because I don't think personally I was able to give him the time really with my studies and juggling with everything. And so, and after graduating, I realized that, yes, there weren't a lot of opportunities for women, especially in my city. I mean, there weren't a lot of opportunities in general for engineers. Normally, the students after graduating, they would go to a different city like Lahore and Islamabad or Karachi to get to work. But for me, I couldn't move out of the city.
Yeah.
And so I took that time, I guess, as an opportunity to stay close to my son. And so I taught in a school for 3 years.
Wow.
And my parents, I remember they would tell me, it's a thing that, you know, you should do like get a bachelor's degree and a master's degree before you start working, because if you start working, then it becomes really difficult. And I was like, no, if I have to get a master's degree, I will get it from either US or Canada. Like, that's, you know, the thing I had at the back of my mind. And I was like, I don't care, you know, if I can't work in the field, that's perfectly fine. And so I hanged in tight and I taught for 3 years. And
what were you teaching?
So I was teaching English, mathematics, and Pakistan studies. And this was from like range of kids. So in Pakistan, the way it works is, you don't have separate schools for, like, you don't have middle school, high school, or elementary school.
They're kind of all conjoined. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you have K to 12. There's just one school from K to 12. And so I was teaching a range of kids from third grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, all the way up to like the high school, students. So it was definitely an experience. And then I really enjoyed, I mean, I love kids. Mm-hmm. I think it taught me, teaching itself is a skill. So I look at that experience very, very positively. And it helped my son to staying close to him and monitoring him and helping him build that foundation early on in the school years. So
he has an amazing mom, and he'll always appreciate that time. Well,
thank
that
you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you
three
so
years
much.
Is,
yeah.
is, it doesn't seem like a lot when you say it, but 3 years of kind of shifting your motive and your intuition with your career is definitely, that's incredible. It's incredible that you did all that.
And it's a, I guess it's a message that I would give, even to the new moms, right?
Yeah.
Is that it's really important. And we may, overlook sometimes as, career oriented women, our role as a mother, but spending that time with the kids is so important. And like I mentioned, I mean, my son, until I spent that time after graduating from the university, he did not speak. And literally within a year, when I started spending more time with him, even in the school, he started speaking.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that I did that.
That's amazing.
And I always say that if you're a new mom, don't worry about work.
Those
first couple of years, they're so important. Spend that time with your kid, because now he's 15. And when I look at him, I'm like, oh my God, where did the time go? They're not going to be that young their entire life. So just take that time, enjoy yourself. And, the career, eventually you will have so many more years ahead of you.
Yeah, that quality time with family, with work-life balance is very important. Like, think about if you just dedicated your whole life to your job for a company that could replace you in a second, and you have to be there for your son. That's amazing. Yeah. So after you kind of pivoted through all this, talk to me about what was your first position within the industry, and how did you really, kind of get exposed to that?
Sure, absolutely. So my first position in the industry really was with Schlumberger. So I had done an internship before when I was in Pakistan, which was for 1 month. And this was while I was studying. But after that, like I mentioned, I taught in the school for 3 years. So I moved to US in 2015, eventually. And this is when I had the opportunity to look into the different schools and decide what it was that I wanted to pursue. And also pivot into a different field if I wanted, right? And I don't really have a fancy story I will tell you about why I selected cybersecurity. I think it really was...
You don't need a fancy story.
Yeah, it really wasn't. It was just curiosity, I would say.
Yeah.
And I remember taking, some courses, computer and network systems courses. But even when I was studying through electrical engineering, I would always, question and ask, how do you secure this, right? Like, you have the data, and how do you secure this? How do you secure computers? How do you secure the data? And while I was studying in the studying electrical engineering, I remember Googling to see if there were any courses, because there weren't any that were offered in my university.
Mm-hmm. Annie, can we backtrack? I don't think we mentioned, where did you go to school in the US and where in the US?
Sure, absolutely. So this was University of Houston. Okay. So when I came here, I moved to Houston.
You just chose to pursue school there. Was it anything particular within that school, or just
cybersecurity?
Yeah.
It was cybersecurity. And I was fortunate, because Houston, for me, anytime we moved to US, it has always been home. My family was living here. They moved here before I did. Mm-hmm. And so when I started, looking for the universities, and I had gotten interested in cybersecurity, I was like, okay, let's see if there's a master degree in cybersecurity that is being offered in any of the universities. And luckily, University of Houston was offering. And it was a perfect combination because I didn't want it to be entirely focused on cybersecurity. So it was like half project management, half cybersecurity. And so, yeah, I applied and I got in. And that's how I learned more about cybersecurity in school. And then after graduating, my first job was with Schlumberger as a cybersecurity analyst. So
what is Schlumberger?
Schlumberger is a oil field services company. It's a French company, global. It has presence in all over the world. And so they have many offices in Houston. And at that time, when I had graduated, they were looking to build out their second security operations center in Houston. Mm. And they were looking for fresh graduates from the universities. And I think it was perfect time. I was looking for a full-time job, and they were looking for SOC analysts. So I interviewed with them. I suppose they liked me. I liked them too. So.
So did you apply there? Did they reach out? Like, how was that journey of finding what company you want to be with? And especially, right, with a new grad, you're just graduating. It's scary. It's hard to find a job. How did you kind of pivot with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I will. So I will tell you the truth, right, which really is that it was connections. I had applied, and when I was studying, honestly, I remember that when my professor once asked me, when I asked him if whether I should do a project for my in the master degree as a the project, or if I should write a research paper, and he told me, well, you tell me, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I want to work. And he was like, well, work on, you know, at McDonald's. And I was like, no, like, and I remember, well, there's a security analyst, you know, that you can be. And honestly, like, when you are studying, you don't know what are the possible, you know, careers or jobs that are out there, right? And yep. I think this is where having a mentor really helps, or having those connections with the people that are in the field that can guide you really helps as well. So I had some friends that had been in the field for quite some time, and I was applying definitely a lot, but I don't know if there was something wrong with my resume, but I would always get automated emails saying that, no, you know, unfortunately, you know, we are not considering you for this position and stuff like that. So for this job specifically, and for another one, it really was through networking. And Schlumberger had reached out to our professor.
Oh, wow.
And and so our professor really was the one that, it wasn't just me, it was like four or five students from the university that he recommended. And that's how I had the chance to interview with them.
That's amazing.
After the interview, yeah. That's
I love hearing stories. It's truly about networking. And people always ask, right? How do we network? How do you? I'm like, you have to build connection. You can't just say, hey, Annie, I'm looking for a job at Schlumberger. Like, can you help me? You know, it has to be more of a personal connection. And then you got a recommendation because of how well you did in school and how you really show your dedication is truly it resonates with you.
I think it's important to understand that it's not just always what you know, right? Mm-hmm. It's also who you know. Like, sure, at the end of the day, you know, your knowledge in that specific domain and how well you do, eventually that will be, you know, you will prove yourself in the long run. But to get the foot in the door, it really is, for me at least, and the advice that I give is it's the connections that are going to help you. And, you know, to your point, how do you network? There are so many amazing, you know, organizations that you can be part of and attend and, you know, talk to people over there. I really like this one girl and the tactic really that, you know, she used. And I want to share that is we hosted a Women in Cybersecurity webcast. And this was in the time of COVID, which is like 2 years back. So everything was online at that time. And she
During
joined.
Schlumberger, where did you where was the webcast? Where is it through?
So this was with Women in Cybersecurity. So Women in Cybersecurity is a, it's a it is also a global organization, and I volunteer with them. And so it
WICYS.
yes, that's
Yeah,
right.
okay.
So it was a webcast. So I'm the president for the WSIS Houston affiliate. So we were hosting this webcast for WSIS. This girl, she joined, and she joined 5 minutes early. And I think she knew that, you know, there would be the leadership of the chapter that would be there. And she switched on her camera and she introduced herself, and she said, you know, I'm studying in this school, and I am actively looking for a job. And if you are, you know, if you know anyone, or if you can, you know, I would love to connect and, you know, get to know more about the opportunities that are out there. And immediately now, you know, from anyone else that attended the call, she stood out, right?
Yeah.
So you have to step out, you have to meet people, you have to talk to people. And if you can, you know, challenge yourself and come out of your comfort zone and start presenting early on, you know, that will really make you visible. When I was, so I tell you, I had a really bad phobia for public speaking. And when
I
I was
can't
getting
tell. You're so good at it.
practice, it's been
Yeah.
practice. I mean, I've been doing it so much, and I started doing it in when I was studying you know, cybersecurity at University of Houston. I realized very early that this was a it you know, I had this fear of public speaking. And I remember when I would get in front of people, I'm sure there are many people that can relate to me, is like my voice would get stuck in the throat, and my heartbeat beat, it would be, you know, so fast. And I realized it was a problem, and I knew that it would become a problem for me in the long run. And so I purposely went out, and I remember the very first, it was actually a panel that I spoke on. It was for recruiting and retaining female security talent with an organization that's called Control Systems Cybersecurity Association International. And I had reached out to the president just to volunteer with them. But she asked if I was interested in being part of the panel, and I had never spoken on a external event like that before. And I told her, I was honest. I was like, I have never done this before, and I will ask you a lot of questions, so just work with me. And I was extremely nervous, but she coached me.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I want to recognize her. Her name is Rebecca Moore. She's amazing. And so she
Thank you to
coached me, and
Rebecca. Yeah, that's
thank you to
sweet.
Rebecca, hands down.
That's sweet.
And yeah, and that panel, it went really well. Now, I won't say that, you know, I became an expert after that. You know, there are many presentations and talks that I have given that have not went really well, but it's all about, you know, learning from any, you know, incident that happens, and then just, you know, getting better. And so with time, you know, and practice, you learn, and you improve.
I love that. Everything's a learning experience. How do you feel? Because you said that you kind of need this later on in your career, right? Do you feel that learning how, like, social skills, soft skills, public speaking is needed in the field?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think when we think about you know, cybersecurity, and I say it's a myth that you know, you have like hackers that come to your mind. There are many people that think that you need to know math. You really don't. I mean, it's cybersecurity is such a broad field, right? There's sure, you know, like the technical side to it. There's, you know, forensics, there is penetration testing, but then there's governance, risk, and compliance as well. But I think this is true not just for cybersecurity, but for any field, is that if you want to grow within any company, having the soft skills and the communication skills is extremely important. right? And for me, especially working in a company, in a big company like Schlumberger, which has like global presence, I think it has really helped me get visibility as well, which is really important to grow in your career within a company. So never undermine the soft skills and the people skills, whether you know you're in cybersecurity or in any other domain. And it is something that can be learned, right? There you know, when we talk to people and the people that have really good communication skills and soft skills, we think, oh, they're natural, you know, born with it. And it's not always something that someone is born with. It is something that can be taught and learned as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. I used to have the same phobia. I was like, I can't speak. I don't know how to speak in front of a whole bunch of people. On top of public speaking, that I think I still struggle with is imposter syndrome, is when you just don't feel like you know enough. There's smarter people out there, right? How do you combat that with this industry and today in your career?
Yeah, I think you just you need to trying to find the right words to say this is you have to look at it positively, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a bad thing being in a room full of smart people. It's actually a good thing, because I think if you are the smartest one in the room, you're not in the right place.
Yeah.
So you need to have smart people around you from whom you can learn. Right. So I've always looked at it, you know, in a different aspect. And I am I don't consider myself should I say this, like, I don't know, not smart. I mean I know that I can learn, right? And you're never going to know everything.
You feel just, that you just have so much to that. Learn from. Yeah, there's so
Absolutely.
Much to learn, and you can always better yourself.
Absolutely. And there is, you know, nobody knows everything. At the end
right.
of the day, you will always have something that you bring to the table. So like, keep learning. If you don't know, that's perfectly fine, right? Keep learning, keep challenging yourself. I think that is more important than, and be kind to yourself too. You know, I think it's perfectly okay to make a mistake. And I have made many mistakes. But as long as, you know, you don't bring yourself down, don't be too hard on yourself. It's perfectly okay. Learn from them and continue to improve. And if you are hardworking and if you are honest, at the end of the day, people will, you know, respect you and recognize you for that. So
yeah, that's very good. That's really good advice for people who are, you know, even career transitioning in the field, not cybersecurity. There's so much advice that you said. There's also so much advice that you put in the book. And I feel like you've already said most of these. In Annie's chapter, everyone, like, if you haven't got the book, we're both in it. There's amazing women in it. But I think the advice that really stood out to me was keep your skills up to date. And
absolutely.
Ongoing education is very important. Is there anything
absolutely.
That you're working on? You know, is there, you know, when you say keep your skills up to date and all this advice, Annie, is my question is there something that you wish you would have known prior to the field and getting into it that you would wish that somebody else would know? Like, what would you give your younger self the advice before entering this field?
Oh, wow. You know, I look at it from a completely different perspective. And for me, I tell you that I used to worry a lot. I used to worry a lot just because I wasn't sure if I would ever move abroad. And again, like, I started this by saying that, you know, me living here, it's a dream, right? And I feel like I'm living my dream. But I had to work really hard, and I used to get really worried when I was younger, thinking about the future and thinking about how I could maybe make my dreams come true. So I would say, just, you know, work hard, have faith, and just keep going. Don't give up. that really is my advice to anyone. You know, if you see something for yourself, it might not happen immediately, right? You have to be patient with yourself and you know, with time too. So it's not going to happen in a day or two. You have to be patient with yourself, and you have to trust the process, and you have to have faith.
I love that. You've worked so hard to get to where you are, and the fact that this is your dream, do you feel like you've accomplished everything? What's in the future for us? Like, tell us what you have plans wise, like for career, personal. I just want to know, even like, what are you working on now?
Sure, absolutely. So I feel that, you know, being in cybersecurity, I am, it's only been for me like 4 years working in the field. Sure, I can count the 2 years when I studied cybersecurity, mm-hmm. You know, at University of Houston. But my goal really is to educate as many people about cybersecurity as I can, and help the younger generation learn about cybersecurity. And I think that this is such a, you know, it's exciting times, you know, to be in cybersecurity, and it pays well, and who doesn't want to earn well, right?
Yeah.
So I try as much as I can to spare time to help anyone that I can. And anyone that's watching this, if you're interested in cybersecurity, or if you want to connect and learn more about it and what are the opportunities that are out there, I wish I had time to write. You know, for the book too, I really wanted to have something written that was out there. And I think that was the reason why I wrote for the book. And I'm really happy that it was published. But I need to make more time to write and write for the people that are interested in cybersecurity, so I can just share those resources with them. So it's, for me, I feel I'm really happy and content where I am in my life. If you ask me about my career, my long-term career goal is to be eventually a CISO. And it can be, you know, within Schlumberger or with any company, but that's my career goal. But it is, you know, regardless how long that takes, it really is about now, you know, giving back and helping the people that are interested in getting in the field.
I love that. And one thing about the community and cybersecurity, and women, especially like Women Who Secure, WSIS, Women in Tech, there's so many communities where we're always going to better each other and be there for each other. Yeah. I love that. As this comes to an end, Annie, is there anything else that you just want to put out there in the universe? What would be, you know, how can people get in touch with you if they can, if that's something you're open to? We can include that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to get in touch with me is through LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. You can follow me there. My handle is Q Annie J, Q-A-N-N-I-E-J. You know, feel free to message me, connect with me. I try my best to share many resources there. And as, you know, the president of WSIS Houston affiliate, and we host a lot of webcasts and in-person events in Houston as well. But yeah, if you see me in any conferences like RSA and or Women in Cybersecurity, you know, don't be a stranger. Feel free to, you know, just come and say hi and connect with me. And regardless of, I would say, you know, where you are in your journey, just keep going. You know, that's the only thing that I want to say. Eventually, you know, there's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days. And again, no one is a natural, right? And learn whatever you can, connect with as many people as you can. And I guess this is the last line in the book for my chapter is get up, dress up, and don't give up.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. The motivation just keeps going. Annie, yeah. Thank you so much. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. I will put all of Annie's information, her LinkedIn, and all the links that we have that are provided with the podcast. Annie, thank you. I appreciate you so much. And
thank you so
it's
much
only
going
to get better from here. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you.